Wonderful joy to be here this morning and to be able to share in the testimonies and the baptism of those three young ladies, and also to witness the dedication of Josh and Anna's little girls as well too. Welcome, by the way, if you're visiting with us today. Thanks for coming out. Stay behind, have a couple with us afterwards, and you're welcome back anytime you like. It's also great today to have a few old-timers who are back with us to share in the occasion. There's also some who have been unwell for quite some time and they're with us today. Great to have you back. And some who've been travelling overseas who are back today, so that's great. Look, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. We're going to read verses 15 to 24. Luke 14, 15 to 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but still there is room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" I'm sure that you're all lucky enough to get an occasional invitation to a special event. Maybe a party, a wedding, a graduation, a school formal, a special work do, whatever it might be. Maybe you get this fancy looking envelope that turns up in your letterbox and it's got nice printing on the front, and you open it up and there's gold embossing around the edge there, and maybe even your name written in nice calligraphy on the invitation itself. John Vellacott, who's not here this morning, was telling me a couple of weeks ago that his son, who heads up Air New Guinea, lives up there in Port Moresby, was awarded an MBE at the beginning of the year. Do you remember what an MBE is? A member of the British Empire. And he got an invitation, would you believe it, to Buckingham Palace to have his MBE presented to him by Prince Charles. And that happened a month or two ago. I don't think I've ever quite got an invitation like that, but here's hoping. I wonder what the invitation actually looked like. I'd be keeping it, I think. One day, Jesus told this story about a man who was obviously a wealthy man who decided to host a big banquet. And he sent out the invitations to many of his friends. And finally, the big day arrived. And back in those days, they didn't have watches and clocks and things like that. And so the servant was sent out to remind everybody that the day had actually come and that everything was ready to go. So come on over. Let the party begin. Well, let me read again from verse 18. "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' And the servant came back and reported this to his master." What do we make of those excuses? Well, for a start, they're all rather pathetic. I've just bought a block of land and I have to go and see it. I mean, who in their right mind would buy a block of land without checking it out first? Maybe Gina Reinhardt or somebody. I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. That's ridiculous. I know lots of farmers and they're not going to part with their hard-earned cash without checking out those sorts of details beforehand. I just got married. Dot, 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 dot. I mean, that's taking marriage bliss to a whole new level, isn't it? I mean, maybe even the wife, with a bit of nudging, you know, could have been invited to come along to the banquet as well. I mean, one evening apart, surely he's not going to wreck their marriage, and might have been a nice way for a guy to spend an evening anyway. I mean, when you don't want to accept an invitation, I guess any excuse is good enough. And that's kind of the message that's coming through in this story here that Jesus tells. But what an insult to the host. What a slap in the face. What these excuses here are saying is that these people didn't care about the man himself, they didn't care about his banquet, they didn't care about the invitation. But they had better, they had more important things that they wanted to attend to. And so they couldn't be bothered. That's simply what it amounted to. But it's what happens next, however, which is the kind of the intriguing part of the story. I mean, you could have understood it if the host had basically just called it off and sort of said, well, just forget it. That would have been understandable, but he doesn't do that. He actually sends out more invitations. Let's pick it up again, the second part of verse 21. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I mean, first of all, the servant goes out to the streets and the alleys of the town. And he's not inviting now the respectable people, the high society people. He's going for the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. These were the outcasts, the dropouts of the community, the undesirables of society. Jesus was often accused of mixing with tax collectors and sinners as a sort of like a code for the sorts of people you really don't want to have anything to do with. But they are the ones who got invited to the banquet. And then when there was still room, he said to the servant, go outside of the town now. Go into the roads and the country lanes and invite whoever you can find. Beg them to come. I want the place full. If the invited guests don't want to come, that's just too bad. I'm not going to let them stop this banquet from happening. And so the party goes ahead. There are two big questions, I think, that we need to answer in relation to this story that Jesus told. The first is, what does this story actually mean? I mean, Jesus actually tells this story in response to a comment that was made by one of the Jewish religious leaders, because he was at this time having a meal at the home of a Pharisee and his religious friends. Look at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. That was the comment that this religious guy actually made. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And this is referring to that royal banquet that was going to take place when the Messiah actually arrived on the scene. And in the thinking of this Jewish religious fellow, whether he was a Pharisee, whether he was a priest, whatever he was, we're not really told. But in his thinking, only the devout Jews would have been invited to that feast. When the kingdom of God was set up and the Messiah was installed, that only those who were faithful to the Jewish law would have been invited to that feast. So in this story that Jesus then tells in response to this comment, the initial round of invitations would have gone out to those sorts of people. They are the ones who were invited to the banquet, the religious people, the devout people, the holy ones who had kept the law of Moses. And then when the second round of invitations goes out, it's to remind those people who had already presumably at some level anyway accepted that initial invitation, the day's actually arrived, it's time to come. The guests who received that initial invitation were the people who had already accepted the Old Testament law. They were already obeying the law of Moses. They were already approving of the Old Covenant. They are the ones who had already received the prophets of God, and they had been primed and prepared for the banquet. But that second reminder invitation is speaking about Jesus and the coming of Jesus. And Jesus goes to those people who already have the law and the old covenant and the prophets, and they reject him. These are the ones who were in the story that Jesus tells here, rejecting the invitation to the banquet. I mean, this guy is saying to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. But when the opportunity comes to actually do that, he's actually one of the ones who is saying, no, but we don't want Jesus. And it's when those Jewish leaders rejected Jesus that then God says, well, let's go to the riffraff. Let's go to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the disabled, the widows, the orphans, the people that the Pharisees themselves despised and looked down upon. But there was still space. And so the host says to the servant, well, go further. Go out further. Go to the Gentiles. Go to the non-Jews. Tell them about Jesus as well too. Because you see, wherever there are needy people, there is opportunity for them to come to the banquet, to the table as well too. And so what this story is doing is it's emphasizing the point that God's invitation through Jesus Christ is open to everybody. There is nobody who is outside the scope of that invitation. That's what the story actually means. The second question, however, that we need to answer is, what does this story mean for us? And this is where the rubber hits the road. And there are three things that I just want to emphasize that I believe that this little story tells us this morning. And the first is this, that we, and I'm referring to us sitting here this morning, we are all invited to God's heavenly banquet. The banquet is open to us as well. In fact, it's open to everybody who will receive the gracious invitation that God is offering to us. And it doesn't matter what your background might be. It doesn't matter what questionable things there might be tucked away in your past. It doesn't matter what your status in society might look like. It doesn't matter how well connected you might be in a social sense. We are all invited to the banquet. And in a sense, Jesus himself is the invitation. Certainly he's the one who has done everything that is necessary in order for us to be able to qualify to be at the banquet table, to share in this feast. Jesus is the one who has done the work. What are we referring to here? Well, he's died for us upon the cross. He is the one who has paid the price for our sin. He's the one who has shed his blood as the atoning sacrifice so that we who are sinners can actually be there. Everything necessary has been done, and because of that, God is saying to each one of us this morning, he's saying, come, come, accept my invitation. You don't have to do anything except come. You might be one of the sinners of society. There might be stuff that you have done in the past there which is shameful, which society might look down upon and despise. But I care about you, and I want you to come. I'm inviting you to come. I know that there are some people who may be sitting here this morning and they're saying, surely, Murray, that's too good to be true. Surely you've got to contribute something to qualify to be there. Surely you've got to be at least a half-decent person. Surely you've got to have a clean record. Surely you've got to be making at least a serious attempt to prove that you deserve to be there. If you know the things that I have committed in the past, you wouldn't want me at that table anyway. Well, you see, that's the most amazing thing about the invitation that God is offering to us. There are no strings attached to it. I mean, the ironic part of this story that Jesus tells here is that the respectable types, the religious ones, were the ones who actually rejected the invitation, and they missed out when the party began. And it was the so-called sinners of society are the ones, the very ones who ended up at the banquet. And I mean, this is reminding us, friends, that the gift of salvation that God is offering to us is free. It costs nothing. It is by God's grace alone. And all we have to do is to accept the invitation that he's offering us. Yes, it cost Jesus everything, but it costs us nothing. The second thing that this story speaks to us very personally about, it tells us that it's tragically possible to reject God's gracious invitation. And I say tragically because it is a tragedy. There are many different excuses that people use to turn down God's invitation. There's just a couple that came to mind. I'm too busy. And that's kind of what the people in this little parable were saying. This is how they tried to justify themselves anyway. I've got more important things to do. I've got more important people that I need to hang out with. I just don't have time for God at this moment in my life. And so there are lots of people for whom God is not a sufficient priority in their life at this point in time. They're just too busy with other things. Another one is I'm happy the way that I am. I don't really need God at this point in my life. And again, this is sort of like the people in the parable. They didn't hate God, but there were other things that were more important to them. And they were just content the way that they were. Maybe some point down the track, I'll spend a bit of time thinking about things, but basically I'm happy the way I am. Another one is I need more time to think about it. And this is the procrastination excuse. But often, you know, that's just a delaying tactic. Maybe this person does have some genuine questions that they're struggling with. I hope that they really are struggling with those questions. Maybe they're weighing up the cost of accepting the invitation. Let me just say this morning that offer that Jesus is making is still open to us today. We don't know, however, how much longer that opportunity will exist. At this moment, the offer is still there on the table. Will you accept it? Will you accept the invitation? Will you come? And then there's another one, which is probably a more honest one. I'm just not interested. I mean, it's very sad that someone would want to say that. especially in light of everything that Jesus has done for us to make it possible for us to be at that banquet. But they're prepared to miss out on the banquet in order to do what they want to do with their lives. They're prepared to spend an eternity separated from God and miss out on the blessings of the relationship that we can have with God through Jesus Christ. Miss out on the joy of being at the banqueting table because they're just not interested. We need to be very careful, friends, if we're going to make excuses and then jeopardize our opportunity to be there on that day. But then the third thing I believe that this story speaks to us personally about, and that is that the Christian life is actually meant to be a feast and not a funeral. Sometimes, you know, I think that those of us who are Christians, we forget this. Being a Christian is meant to be like enjoying a banquet. You believe that? I know that in living the Christian life, the journey can be a bit bumpy at times. I know that there are times when our faith does get tested. I'm not suggesting at the moment that we spend our whole lives experiencing the joys of heaven right here and now. They still await us. But I do believe that Christians are meant to be happy people. We're meant to be people who can celebrate the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We can celebrate what it really means to be part of the family, to be sitting down at the banquet table and enjoying the blessings that have been achieved for us by Jesus Christ. And I think that the gospel message is a call to share in the blessings of God's kingdom. In Revelation chapter 19, it talks also about what awaits the Christian in heaven. This is Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" And one day, Jesus is going to be married to his bride. Who is his bride? It is the church. It is Christians all over the world who have responded to the invitation that God has sent out through the gospel. And friends, to be there on that day, experiencing the joy of that wedding banquet, is going to be absolutely wonderful. And you know what? We've all been invited. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be there when that day comes? You see, God wants to see his house filled. He wants to see every place that he has allocated at the wedding table, at the banquet table. He wants to see them all fully occupied. No empty spaces. And he wants you and I to be there. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if there was an empty seat at that heavenly banquet that you should have taken? In a sense, my job this morning, folks, is to be like the servant in this story. And my job is to go out and to tell as many people as possible that they need to come. The Bible puts it this way. It says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." It may well be that you've never known that you've been invited before. Well, if today is the first time, can I urge you, come. Accept the invitation. Come as you are. You don't have to clean up your life first. God will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. What you need to do is you need to recognize the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid in full the price of your sin. To reject the invitation is effectively to say, I don't care about Jesus dying for me. That would be an insult. But by his death and by his resurrection, Jesus has actually made everything ready, everything possible. All we have to do is come. And friends, there's an urgency about this morning. We've heard the testimonies of Anna and the girls this morning, of how they met Jesus, how they accepted his invitation, and how God is at work in their lives today. Yes, they've all said they're not perfect, but God, by his grace, is at work in their lives and shaping them, preparing them, getting them ready for the day when they'll be able to celebrate at that banquet table. Will we be there with them? Accept the invitation today. Give your life to the Lord. Put your faith in him. It's your choice. It's up to you. What will it be? Let's pray. Our loving Father, we just marvel at the thought that you'd even want us to be at your banquet. Lord, who are we? What have we got to offer? Absolutely nothing. Except that we know that Jesus died on our behalf. And Lord, we can come to that banquet table only by your grace. Lord, what a wonderful thing, what a wonderful privilege, what a wonderful joy to think that we can be there with all the rubbish, Lord, that we know is tucked away in the corners of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, too, that we can share around that table together with our families and our brothers and sisters and our children. We can be there together on that day, and what a day it will be. Oh Lord, if there's any question or doubt in our minds about whether we're going to be there, we pray, Lord, that that might get settled this morning. Lord, I want to pray especially if there's anybody here who has never, ever consciously accepted that invitation in a personal way. Oh Father, please bring them to faith in Jesus this morning. Help them, Lord, to be able to say yes to you today, to confess their sin, to trust in Jesus, to hand over the controls of their life to you, and to be able to rest in the sure knowledge, Lord, that in Jesus they have a Saviour and a Lord who will be with them for eternity. Lord, thank you for this simple little story. Help us to be able to understand it and live it. Make it true in our own personal lives, we pray. Amen. Look, if there's anybody this morning who would like to talk further about what I've been speaking on this morning, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. There will be some people. Well, the chairs will probably reappear over here in a few moments' time, but we'll have some people who are available to pray with you and maybe explain a little bit more clearly what I've been trying to say. But it would just be a wonderful thing for you to be able to walk out of this place today knowing that you have accepted that invitation and that you'll be there on that day. Thank you.